everybody. My name is Matt Peterson. I want to welcome you into the deep. So this is a podcast from Awake Church, and really the mindset behind Into the Deep, or the concept, is just when Jesus was speaking to people from Peter's boat, and he was talking to the crowds, and after he got done speaking, he turned to Peter personally and said, "How about you and I go out into the deep together for a catch?" And so there was going to be some, I don't know what the conversation was, but there was a lot of fruitfulness that came from that. And so we want to do that with guests periodically that come through and that are here. People have had amazing different experiences in life and bring different things to the body of Christ and kind of mine in the deep of who they are and bring out what God has for us today. So today we have a special guest with us. He lives in Hawaii now. And his name is Paul Cox, and he's an author, speaker, former pastor.
Yes.
No longer a pastor.
No. Different kind of pastor.
Different kind of pastor. And, you know, obviously an author. You've written several books, and great to have you here today.
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And, of course, I was introduced to you from our pastoral care pastor and
yes.
mutual friend, Dawn Bray. And she has told me about you for years, and I know she's known you for probably 20 years or so.
20 years.
Yeah, long time. So a lot of ministry has happened.
Yes.
And of course, I've had a chance to get to know you a little bit over the last couple of years.
Yes.
But so glad you're here.
Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, absolutely. And you are passing through. You got a lot going on right now.
Yes.
Throughout the states, right? You're doing, is it a book tour, basically?
We are doing a 10-week book tour in between selling our house in Aspera, California, and moving to Hawaii, which we'll officially move in September.
Yeah.
So this is in-between time.
Okay.
But we're already set to come to Winston-Salem, so felt like the Lord said, take a book tour and a road trip around the United States.
Beautiful country to take a road trip in. Yeah.
Lots of fun driving.
Yeah, for sure. Well, for our audience's sake, although some of watching will know who you are, others won't. So tell me a little bit about your... Let's just say you're meeting Jesus, at what point and how that happened.
Yes. I was born in Wellington, New Zealand. My father was a Marine during World War II. I met my mother, who was a native New Zealander, and they got married, and I was born there. Then moved to the West Coast, and then he was assigned just after the war to Hawaii, where we lived for 3 years. It was there that I accepted Christ as my Savior at the First Baptist Church of Honolulu. And I have a clear memory of that experience. Not much about my childhood, but I remember going forward, and I think the pastor was actually dressed in a robe. Mm-hmm. So my little face was in between his knees, this robe, and that's where I accepted the Lord. Mm-hmm. Then we moved back to the West Coast, and I grew up in Southern Baptist churches. And then in college, around 1966, so I just graduated from Pepperdine, we went to Downey, California, to First Baptist Church, which was a 2,000-member church. Mm-hmm. And that's when the journey really began.
And from there, did you feel some sort of call to ministry, or what was that process for you to...
So yeah. I graduated from Pepperdine, had a fifth year, received my teaching degree, became a... eighth grade public school teacher in history, English, and reading.
Okay.
And then went from there, got married in 1968. And when we got back from our honeymoon, we started as sponsors in the junior high department at the church. And that group eventually grew to around 100. Mm. And so then I was hired full-time, left the teaching position, and began full-time ministry.
Okay,
I think
youth,
we're all in full-time ministry.
Yeah, right,
but
exactly. But
paid, right. Paid full-time ministry.
Sure, that's right.
And so we had a very large church there, and eventually I had the junior department, the junior high department, and the college department, and we had about 60 leaders under me.
Okay.
And we're very, very busy
doing
kingdom stuff, and it was wonderful. I look, Matt, back at that experience, and many of us were there and realized it was the Jesus movement.
Mm.
I actually joined the church at the beginning of the Jesus Movement, left the church at the very end of the Jesus Movement.
Okay.
But we would throw the fishing hook in, and we'd have hundreds of kids saved.
Amazing.
All the time. And
yeah.
Of course, I was a Baptist, so it was all about salvation and baptism,
right,
and discipleship. And that,
sure,
that's what I did. And,
yeah.
We started the first intern program at the church there, me and another friend.
Mm.
And so we started training a lot of people, and they all became pastors. And what's really weird is now they're all retiring, and they have grandchildren, so it's quite bizarre,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah.
To see all this.
Time flies.
But it was so fun, Matt.
We
had a pastor who protected us as a staff from the drama in church.
Mm,
and
that's
so
great.
It wasn't until I became a pastor that I realized what I had been protected from.
Mm.
And so it was idyllic.
Mm.
If you want to call it a Camelot church, it was a Camelot church.
Mm.
And
wow.
We just had fun all the time.
Yeah. And how long were you on staff there?
I started in 71 and left in 77.
Okay.
Because I felt called to become a pastor.
Okay. So to
I did not want
to lead your own church,
The Lord had other ideas. I did not want to leave. And, but
yeah,
obedience is key.
So then you pastored a few places after that?
I pastored in 1977 in Buell, Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
So a very small church, a small community. Then 1980, returned back to Southern California in Montclair. And then
was that in part to warmer weather? Was that part of the draw?
Yes, yes. Yes, we were in Idaho. I said we were there for 3 winters in Idaho.
Yeah, right.
So I appreciate the
winters.
Call,
yeah,
back to the warmth,
mm-hmm,
and to the green and
right,
palm trees and all that. And then I became pastor of another church in Chino, co-pastor,
mm-hmm,
and then moved to the high desert after some drama, because the Lord, everything the Lord was doing in my life, mm-hmm, was very, very tension-filled. And then passed another church there until around, about, I would say, 1996 or 7, when I left the pastorate.
Okay. And went into what? What was after that? Was that where there was a big shift in your life, both spiritually,
yes,
and just
so,
what you do?
And we'll probably talk about this later.
I
had my first encounter with the enemy and deliverance in 1989 as a Baptist.
Okay.
And then developed the gift of discernment in 91. And so I was on a steep learning curve as the Lord started teaching me about the spiritual world. That's all in the Bible. And so as a result of all that and then stuff in the church, I actually went back to homeschool teaching. So I worked in for a while in a psychiatric ward,
mm-hmm,
not as an inmate, but
yeah,
as a teacher.
Yeah,
did that for several months, and then following that, I worked in a homeschooling network. But the entire time the Lord was teaching me, we would have people come in for prayer ministry, and then 1998, we became part of another ministry, and then I sort of shed away the homeschooling work and went into full-time ministry again. Being paid. We're all full-time ministry.
Right.
I like to say that.
Sure.
But,
yeah, no, that's
being
right.
Paid for that.
So, you know, when I think grew up Baptist and then on staff at a Baptist church.
Yes.
And then when I read like your book here or hear you talk about discernment, fire, discernment, gifts of the Spirit, that's not in the vernacular of a Baptist. So what happened in there for you to, I guess, be awakened to the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Because that would be a no-no.
Yes.
Yeah.
We believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Bible.
Right.
And, excuse me, of course, we talk about the Holy Spirit, but it was frankly very theoretical, and we would practice the safe gifts,
mm-hmm,
not the weird ones.
Okay, which would be what?
Oh, tongues.
Miracles,
tongues are the weird
kind of ones. Right.
Signs of wonders, miracles, interpretation of tongues.
None of those.
No, we would not go there. Healing.
Right.
We would. Of course, we taught about healing.
Yeah.
I was preach through books of the Bible, or preach through the book of Acts.
Yeah.
And we talk about healing.
In the past.
And how does, you know, how does that happen? It's in the past. You know, we love to talk about the stories in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we would pray for healing, but that probably was the extent of it.
Sure.
So the Lord started moving in my life where I got a little frustrated. As a pastor, I was very involved in denominational stuff, mm-hmm. president of this and that, and was on the national board for American Baptist. And I was just really frustrated. I finally said to the Lord, is this all there is?
Mm-hmm.
And I shared this last night that I felt the whoosh for the first time.
Mm-hmm. What would the whoosh mean?
The whoosh is the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Yeah. And the anointing. You know, I had zero, less than zero words, Matt. Less than zero words. Mm-hmm. But I felt the presence of the Lord come over me. I had no idea what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So this would be back in 19, probably 90, let's see, no, 1989,
okay.
Right now.
Yeah.
Probably 88. And I tried to find out what was going on, and a friend of mine, a youth pastor in the church, introduced me to this book, When the Spirit Comes with Power, mm-hmm. by John White. I actually met John in Vancouver just before he passed away. Mm. He was a psychiatrist that attended the Vineyard Church, and I had heard about the dangerous people the Vineyard people were.
Yeah, sure, stay away from those
guys. Very, very dangerous.
Yeah.
You don't go there. He taught, John Wimmer was teaching this class at Fuller Seminary, and we heard about that class, and
mm-hmm.
you know, we would talk about that. You don't want to go there.
Sure.
So I read the book, which was a study of the Vineyard movement.
Mm.
And I thought, John Wimber sounds like a Baptist. He reads the Bible and believes it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, I believe the Bible. And I said to the Lord, now, you know, the really dangerous prayers are not long prayers. I said to the Lord, do with me what you want.
Mm.
And that did it. Yeah. And all of a sudden, we had all sorts of strange things happening at the church spiritually. Mm. We'd have bizarre things going on. People said, you know, there's demons that sit in the sanctuary and laugh at you when you preach. And the kids were out playing with angels in our preschool. This is a Baptist church.
Mm-hmm.
And people started saying, I'm having trouble with the demonic. And I thought, well, that's all in the Bible. So maybe I should do a series on mm-hmm. spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if you remember way back in the late 80s, there were very few books.
Yeah.
Now there's a plethora of books everywhere.
Yeah.
But you had Unger's Demons in the World Today.
Pigs
Neil
in the
Anderson
parlor.
Was still one. At that time at Talbot.
Yeah.
And he was just beginning his ministry.
Yeah.
And I got a hold of his tapes. And so I listened to all of his tapes. And so I started a sermon series. And I was in the third of the series in October of 1989. And a lady called and said, what you're talking about is my problem. Now, we had a counseling center in the church, which was a very difficult thing to put into a Baptist church.
Mm.
But we actually had a therapist, a couple therapists that came, and a psychologist. And we had agreements to talk to each other because I wanted to help the people. I realized, frankly, that what I was doing was not working.
Yeah.
And well, I love the Bible. I preached through the Bible verse by verse. And I believe the Bible could make a difference. I still believe that, but there was something that was not working. So I did everything I could. And so she said, I've been counseling for 2 years. I can't read the Bible. I can't pray. I can't come to church anymore. I'm just so disturbed. Will you pray for me? Well, heavens, I had read books about deliverance. And I thought, this could take a long time. She called on Thursday night. And so I calculated that this is Thursday night, I could be 5 hours doing this, and I like to sleep, and I like to eat, so I planned a Saturday at 1 o'clock, I'd have both meals, enough time for a deliverance. If that happened, if it happens. So I wrote out all my prayers, and we came with one intercessor in the church besides my wife, and this lady would pray for me, in my office while I preached. And so she came in with a client, and we prayed, and she manifested and was set free. And that started a radical change in my journey.
Because then you start to recognize there is more to this, and that God is still delivering people, setting people free.
Yes.
The gifts of the Spirit in the Bible are still active. It's,
Well, we had people start having dreams and visions. And I'm a very cautious, analytical person. So I had to do this very carefully. So everybody had a yellow tablet. And so they would write down what the Lord was saying to them during the prayer session and show it to me, because I wouldn't let anybody volunteer anything.
Yeah.
But the amazing thing, Matt, is the more I pray for people, the more people wanted to come and be a part of the prayer session. And I thought, I can't get people to get into committees, but they want to come and be a part of the prayer session.
Wow.
And they started having dreams, visions, and they would write down words of knowledge and visions they were having in the prayer session. And two or three of them would write down exactly the same thing. And I'm thinking, this is really quite amazing that... that we did that. And we always had chocolate. I was in Germany sharing this. And said, well, why did you have chocolate? I said, because it tastes good. So we, you know, we were very unreligious in our
deliveries. That's a great idea, by the way, to add to ministry sessions.
I think we should have chocolate here.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So then I had some really weird things happen. One guy I was praying for, he's, you know, I'm a short guy, 5'7" and a half. And he's like 6 foot. And he shot out of his chair and tried to attack me. I'm this nice guy.
Yeah.
And he said, I couldn't get you. There's a wall there. And I think, there's a what? A wall? And what is this? We would have knockdown, you know, the classic deliverance things going on.
Yeah.
And my great gift, Matt, so was I would sit there and demons would manifest. Yeah. See, that was my gift.
Sure.
So, but everybody else was getting words of knowledge. They started feeling things on their body, which is the gift of discernment. And I was getting nothing. I sit there and trying to figure out what
but
do
things
I
would
do
happen
next.
Yeah.
But then the word spread, and so more and more people came. And then therapists started bringing people for me to pray with. And then people that had multiple personality disorders started coming. We started praying for them very early on in 1989. So the Lord started with what I call present-day deliverance. And then I felt I need to go back one generation, and I need to go back two generations. And pretty soon I was going back 400 generations. And Matt, something started happening, and people started getting better.
Are now, you, as you started dealing with, when you say going back generations, dealing with generational curses and
generational
things like that?
Curses and iniquities. So
which, again, are in the
curse,
Bible. Right?
A curse is actually an imprecation where I curse somebody. But there is, in Hebrew, the word awa, which means iniquity, and it's the bending in the generational line. So actually now this is being proved scientifically in the field of epigenetics, which is a field of study where they're showing that actually if I go through a trauma, say 10 generations back, that can actually affect my DNA and come down in the generational line as a twisting, which is what all will.
Yeah.
And actually can affect your DNA, but also comes down, of course, as some could be a habit or oppression or addiction or fear, or whatever it might be.
Sure. Before we continue with the conversation, I wanted to take a minute to share about Hydrating Humanity. For the past 19 years, Hydrating Humanity has provided clean drinking water sources, hygiene education, and the news of Jesus' love to over 500,000 people in Eastern Africa, saving lives and transforming villages. You can make a huge difference in the lives of many by being a part of One Tribe, where $25 per month gives one new person clean water for life and reaches them with God's love. 100% of your monthly gift goes directly to fund projects. Please go to joinonetribe.com and join the tribe that is changing the world. So you start delving into this. The Lord is moving in you and your team.
Yeah.
All these volunteers. So I'm guessing that there's probably going to be some sort of culmination if you're in the Baptist church where this is maybe not acceptable. So how did that, I'm guessing that happened.
A culmination is a great word.
Yes.
Yes, there was a culmination.
Yeah.
We started having strange things, more and more strange things happening.
Yeah.
And the Lord at one point said, we want you to do a Jericho walk around the block the church is on. So we had the church, which sat about 500 people, and yeah. then we had a high school. And so we did a Jericho walk, which is once a day, one time around, and on yep. the seventh day, seven times around.
Right. So,
and so we finished it, and I had a man who was on the deacon board, also was a janitor in the church. He came down and said, I don't know what's going on with you, but there's demons screaming in the sanctuary. Mm. And I'm going, oh, this is really bizarre. But we had things like this happening all the time. Mm. And pretty soon the word got out, of course. And I didn't do this publicly. Publicly I was very safe. Mm-hmm. But all this was happening. Of course, the word spreads. And so literally half the church was very excited and half the church was not excited.
Yeah.
And so we had that going on. And then we had a lady who had been a former Sunday school teacher for me at First Baptist Downey. Mm-hmm. She had married another man named Brian Fairley. And Brian was the son of the executive minister for our region, which included Southern California, Arizona, and Hawaii, and part of Nevada. And so we had a meeting down at the next town, and so I invited him to come to the church. And she walked to the church, and she started acting really weird, and she started prophesying about what was going to happen to me and happen to the church. And so all of a sudden, she started calling me all the time. And she said, I have these verses for you. I have this dream about you. I have this word for you. And I didn't know what intercessors were.
Yeah.
This is very common today, but
yeah.
I had zero clue.
Yeah.
And so I'd be on the phone, and so all this is going on, and I'm being told what's going to happen. Other people started having visions about me, and they had visions of staff people rising up against me, and it all happened.
Yeah.
But it took a long time. It was only like a year, but it seemed yeah. like a long time. Mm. And I was told that the people in church would start coming against me. And one time, somebody had a dream that says, I see all these fives coming down on you. So when things got really tense in the church, the board called for a meeting, a congregational meeting. Baptists love congregational meetings.
Okay.
Now, you may not come to church, but you'll come to a congregational meeting because that's where the real excitement is. And so my secretary, who had been a very close friend, started reading all these accusations against me. And I found out they actually had come from my best friend who was plotting to get rid of me. And so she listed all these things. I was spreading salt around the church to keep demons away. Well, first of all, I thought, well, if it works, why wouldn't you do it? But I wasn't doing it. And then I was playing music in the sanctuary, and there was nobody there. This is a big no.
Wow.
You shouldn't do that. So she listed all these things, and then she said, number five, spiritual warfare. There were the fives.
Yeah.
And I had things like this happening all the time.
Yeah.
So we then had another Sunday meeting. And by this time, I was in conversation with the executive minister who I was friends with, and I decided to resign, which I did. Mm. And so just after resigning, the board agreed that I could start another church in a neighboring city with whoever wanted to come. And I didn't invite anybody to come, but we yeah. actually had about 30 people who are like this group on an adventure with the Lord that we did not know where we were going, but we wanted to
yeah.
do what he said.
Yeah.
You know, Matt, I said one time to the Lord, when it was getting so tense, I said, if I only had 10 people that would follow the Lord, that's all I need. You know, I was a numbers guy. I was always counting, you know, how many are here. And,
yeah.
And pretty soon I said, I just had 10. All the time, Matt, we'd have 10 people show up at our house. Mm-hmm. Now think about it. You have 10 people. How often does that happen? It doesn't happen to me anymore, mm-mm. but it happened all the time.
Yeah.
And I'd say, okay, there's 8 people here, 2 more coming, and they show to the door.
Yeah.
And so we had these people that were really wanting to do what the Lord wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I resigned, which was in 1991, and the deacon said, well, first they said to me, we want you to stay if you'll just stop praying for people. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. And so, but it was a compliment. They wanted me to stay.
Right.
So they said, well, okay, so you can remain pastor for 3 more weeks, but you can't preach.
Yeah.
So I sat in my office, and then I started feeling things on my head right here. And we had people that were very gifted, and they were seeing in the spirit. I said, well, who's standing here? And so there's a demon standing there. Well, I told the demon to go, and the pressure on my head left.
Right.
And the Lord started teaching me the gift of discernment, which is the use of the 5 physical senses to know what is going on.
Yeah, whether evil or good. So it's
that's
not
right.
just evil.
That's the
right.
purpose.
That's
the
right.
first intention is this God or not?
Mm-hmm.
And then if it's God, what does he want me to do?
Sure.
Because Jesus only did what the Father was doing. And you see, as a Baptist pastor, I wanted God to do what I was doing because I didn't know any different. I would construct our service. And these were the, I don't know if you remember that, the order of service. Were you in that world at all? You have the call to worship and the first hymn.
I didn't grow up denominationally, but
I'm
familiar with it.
We had the order.
Yeah.
And
we still have some order of service here, too.
It was order. Yeah. You had special music, then a prayer, and then I would preach.
Right.
And then you have an invitation, then you go to the back and welcome the people. And So that's...
Right. Yeah, exactly. So as you transitioned out of that, was it still within the Baptist umbrella, or were you on your own?
No. Yeah. We started another American Baptist church.
Okay.
With the assistance of the denomination. I was invited to become an interim pastor at a Baptist church in San Diego.
Okay.
And so, and I was told by this lady, T.L., who had prophesied when she met me, and her husband also prophesied, never prophesied before, incidentally. And she said, you can choose. And I said, well, Lord, I really want this to happen inside the church. I love the church, and I love pastoring. I love the Word of God. I love the people.
Yeah.
So we continued. We started a church. That church merged with another church. I became co-pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And, things were quite interesting. And the Lord never stopped teaching me. And he started teaching me about all kinds of different spiritual beings. And so I would feel something, and sometimes it would take weeks, and I have to be in consultation with several people. Mm-hmm. What is this? I don't understand what this is. And so then the Lord taught me how to discern angels, how to discern angels bringing messages, how to discern elders, how to discern rulers. Mm-hmm. All these beings that are in the spiritual world that are listed in the church. So the Lord gave me discernment for it. And I start listing them and writing down until I have about over 150 places now in my Bible that fire off. I can't remember all of them, but I write them down. And just last night I had a new discernment in the service.
Mm.
For the first time I felt messengers of fire after the service was over. So this never stops.
That was the scripture I got during the service last night too, actually.
Yes.
Out of Psalms. Yeah.
Yes.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. So huge changes for you. I love the Baptists, and you grew up as one. My grandmother met the Lord at a Billy Graham crusade. My great grandfather was a Baptist minister, and so I'm very thankful. But I feel grieved in many ways when the gifts of the Holy Spirit aren't just not embraced, but oftentimes spoken of evil.
Yes.
That it's like that's the demonic if it's.
It's like the enemy can do everything and God can do nothing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and to think that the gifts aren't for today or the Holy Spirit isn't active as he used to be today is so sad because it's the very thing that Jesus and the Father gave us 2,000 years ago to start then, not to go for 100 years and then stop, but for, as Peter said, forever, right? Every generation.
Yes.
So we need him desperately. I've talked to many Baptist missionaries, you probably as well, and they get on the mission field and they run into some of the things that you experienced where you got demonic manifestations.
That's right.
And all of a sudden they realize, oh my goodness, there needs to be more because we got to deal with the situation.
That's right.
And so many times that's where the Holy Spirit is revealed to them as well. Yeah.
So the Lord started moving me, you know, from the word to the power.
Yeah.
And I had a dream, Matt, this was many years ago. And in the dream, I was on this bus, and I got off the bus, and I left my computer and everything on the bus, all my luggage, and I got on the second bus. And I knew I was going to get on the third bus, and the bus was going to Santa Fe Springs, California. So Santa Fe Springs means the springing up of holy faith. So I've pondered that dream a lot, and my friend Rob Gross in Hawaii, who we work with and who I'm going to be working with when we move, Pastors Mountain View Community Church in Aiea, which is just north of Honolulu. And probably last year, he called me and said, when you come to Hawaii, I think you need to teach the book of Acts. And, of course, that is what I love. I love delving into the Greek and the Hebrew, and I thought, this is going to be so much fun. But I went to bed that night and said, Lord, I don't want just to be like it's always been.
Yeah.
Give me an idea. And I heard the word and the power. The word and the power. I thought, I really like that. It's the word and the power.
Yeah.
And years ago, I had a dream. Well, I don't know if I have a vision, because I'm more of a knower-seer. It's like I know. Some people actually see. Are you a seer?
I can kind of go between.
I'm a knower-seer.
Yeah.
I've seen twice in the spirit, but I felt like, you know, this move of God that's coming is going to travel on the word and the power. So, and then I said, Lord, I need some sort of clever way of presenting this. And so he gave me the, again, this is the second night. All night I'm getting this download, and the acrostic is Jesus. And so the J is just the facts. E is exploring the Greek and the Hebrew, and then goes through. And so I did the biblical Greek and Hebrew, and I did the theological underpinnings of the text, all the heresies that came out of that. So it used all my theological, systematic theology, information, but then also experience and the power. And so we did the series, and it was the most amazing thing. Every single week, the Lord sent angels. He told us what was going to happen in the church service, what was going to happen in the Bible study, which is Sunday afternoon, and it happened every single week. And then I realized the dream. So the first bus was my Baptist word, which I love the Bible. I love studying. I love reading commentaries. I really love it. But I had to leave that behind, and the Lord exposed me to the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And see, the third bus is the word and the power. And I feel like we are now moving into a time when it's going to be the word and the power. Unfortunately, in some of the previous moves of the Lord, it's been more about the power than the word.
Sure.
And see, I think my Baptist background in the word solidified something in me. So I am a man of the word. If anything that I experience does not match up to the word, then it's a no-no. And I'm not talking about extra biblical material. I'm not talking about the Apocrypha. I'm not talking about the book of Enoch.
Yeah.
It has to be the 66 books of the Bible.
Right.
And see, when you have the word and the power, then you can arrive at holy faith, which is Santa Fe Springs.
That's so wonderful. I like that.
It's a great, fun way to live life.
It's
a constant adventure. I really think the non-Christian's life must be so boring.
Yeah, and oftentimes the Christian life can be boring without the Holy Spirit and without following His voice and hearing from Him and stepping out. You know, that can be boring as well. Yeah,
that's right.
Right, exactly. Well, I'm glad you don't have a bored life.
I do not.
No, that's for sure. So, and I know at some point along the way you started Aslan's Place.
Yes.
And so tell us about what that is.
Well, when, excuse me, we were raising our children, our kids fell in love with the Chronicles of Narnia and with Aslan. So we were gifted with a California license plate of words. You know, you could buy a license plate.
Right.
So we had a license plate that's 5-4 Aslan. So that's what we had in our car. And that would often elicit quite a few conversations, you know, when people see that. And so when we started the ministry, we had this idea of Aslan's place. So and after, this is a long, difficult journey getting to this point. We had just married our daughter, Corey, in 1998. And we were to go to the prayer center in Colorado Springs. And we actually were the first people to stay overnight in the prayer center. And some people there from Minnesota, and they invited me to come. And I said, well, I'll come in the summer. I do not do cold. I do not like cold. Well, we ended up going in January. It was 28 below. And we met this attorney. And this is the nicest guy. And we were in his home. And then he invited us back the next month in February. So we came back. He said, well, why don't you let us start a ministry for you? Well, before that, I did not want that happening because I was part of another ministry. But the Lord started giving us money. I got one check in the mail in 1998 for $50,000, which was more than I was making as a pastor in 1 year.
Yeah.
And then I got another check for $25,000. And he kept on saying, this money is not for the ministry, it's for you. So I collected all this money in the bank. And so I found out this attorney was actually an attorney over 30 attorneys in downtown Minneapolis, and he had a nonprofit organization that funded nonprofits. I didn't know this yet, even when I was there. And so I got a map out, and he said, well, if you could live anywhere in the United States, where would you live? And I said, well, my children are now in the high desert. I would like to live in the high desert, Southern California. And Cindy Jacobs had prophesied over this and told Donna that she would be given a finely attired Victorian home. And we had looked everywhere for that house, everywhere. You know how it is when you get worse? We're going to find.
Yeah.
Well, we finally said it's never going to happen. We died to it. So she said that. Well, the attorney was there and he heard that. He said, why don't you find a Victorian house in the high desert? Well, that's all Donna needed. You know, we had lost the house that we at a short sale in this journey we were in. We were now living with a college student because we couldn't find a place to rent. You know, we'd gone almost down to nothing after raising our children.
Yeah.
And so, well, we said, we'll go to the high desert. He said, we'll find a Victorian house in the high desert. That's all Donna needed. The next day, we're on the plane, and she is called the realtor. And we go and we walk into this Victorian house, and I realize it's a house I had had a dream about. My daughter-in-law had had a dream about the house.
Yeah.
And I think Don had a dream of the inside of the house. And in the front of the house, now Aslan is the Turkish word for lions. In front of the house are two lion statues. And so I call my friend now, who's an attorney in Minnesota, and he says, well, maybe we can help you with a house. Well, 2 weeks later, he said, we'll pay for the house.
Wow.
And so the Lord started Aslan's place, which began on Easter Sunday in April 1999. And by this time, we had met a man named Ed Silvoso with Harvest Evangelism, and he started inviting me to come to Argentina, so we went to Argentina 6 times. In Argentina, we met all these people from around the world, so we started traveling to Europe, went to Germany 6 times, all sorts of countries we started going to, and the Lord had me on a fast track.
Yeah.
And all the time teaching me and teaching discernment.
Hey, if you are just getting to know Awake Church or found us through this podcast, I just want to share a little bit here. Our mission is to know Jesus personally, to become progressively more like him, and make his name known everywhere. We like to say, know God, take action. We are a community of awakened sons and daughters of the King, growing together, loving and worshiping God together, and releasing his love into this world. You can learn more about our leadership team, our values and beliefs, and check out upcoming events at awakechurch.com. So discernment, the primary thing the Lord really brought you into to share. So if you could talk about, you mentioned a little bit about discernment, touching the five senses.
Right.
Tell me more about what discernment is to you, how the gift works, and perhaps how it helps other people, and how the Holy Spirit uses it.
Yeah, some time ago, a person told a friend, well, Paul's main gifting is generational prayer. And I had this righteous indignation rise up. I said, no, it's not. My desire is to be doing what the Father is doing.
Yeah.
And I do that through the gift of discernment. So Hebrews 5:14 says, by constant practice, you train your senses to discern good and evil. A friend of me, actually, he was in church. Mm-hmm. He's a graduate of Dallas Theological Seminary, which is not known for embracing the gifts.
Definitely not, yeah.
And but he said, Paul, the Lord gave me this verse. And I thought, oh, that's my verse. I had not seen it after already doing some seminars. And so we started teaching and training in discernment. And the purpose is, again, to be doing what the Father is doing. So in around, I think, 2010, I had this new discernment. And so I was on the phone, my friend Rob Gross. I mean, on the phone with my son or Brian or Rob or somebody else, because I'm trying to figure out, you know, what is this? And we determined I was discerning Melchizedek. And I thought, I don't get it. Why am I discerning Melchizedek? And I didn't know much about Melchizedek, frankly. So I'm pondering this, and the Lord had told us to have a meeting on Pentecost at Azaz's place, and the crowd swelled to about 14 people. And I was getting ready to fly to New York the next day for ministry. So I told the people there's not going to be any coffee, no desserts, no goodies. We're going to come, wait for sundown, Saturday, Pentecost. So not the Sunday Pentecost, but the Jewish one. And we're going to wait and see what the God does. So I'm sitting there at Azaz's place at the Victorian, and it's almost time to start. I start feeling this breeze in the room. I'm looking around, and the air conditioner's not on. And I start watching the Kleenex is starting to move. Well, everybody shows up, and it's sundown. So I look at my clock, and it's sundown. I thought, I think we're supposed to stand up. So we stand up. And Matt, I do something I have not done before or since, and I don't even know how I did it. I started running backwards. And I ran backwards 7 times in the room. And there was so much power on me that I was thrown down. I said, okay, to the people, what is that about? I said, well, you're running backwards. You know, I think, well, thank you for your prophetic insight. And I literally, I had a 14-year-old who was running in front of me, steering me so I didn't crash into the furniture. So they have to drive me home. I can't drive. I so much power's on me. And I pondered that, and then I realized I was going back to the beginning, Hebrews 5:14. And I realized it's all about Melchizedek. Melchizedek, as our high priest, is interceding for us, and discernment is right in that passage. So Melchizedek starts at 3 or 4 and goes, you know, to the end of 6. And so the whole reason for Melchizedek is to understand what he has interceded for before the Father, and then to do what the Father is doing. And then the verses right after that say, do not be any more talking about the same old doctrines and the same things over and over again. That is all milk. Now, we need the milk at a stage in our Christian walk, but we need to get past the milk to the deep things, which is what you call this, to the deep things. Well, you only get to the deep things by going to the solid food. Solid food is for people who can discern. Mm. And I'm not making that up. That's what it says. Mm-hmm. Solid food is for those who, by constant practice, train their senses.
That's right.
And so I believe that this is the bottom line. Mm. Now, can I share the... I think I've told you twice the story. What happened to me?
Yeah, go ahead.
So some time ago, I was home, and it was late afternoon, early evening, and the doorbell rings. And I go to the door, expect to see someone. No one's there. I thought a kid is causing trouble. I go out, no one's there. So the next day, doorbell rings again, same time, or at the same time period. Third day, doorbell rings. Fourth day, doorbell rings. I thought, it's going to ring seven times. Well, we left for a ministry trip, came back. Next night, the doorbell rings. Five, six, and seven. So door rings seven times. I look at the clock, and it's 5:19. And I call my friend Rob, and I said, Rob, I just had the most bizarre experience. Mm-hmm. He says, Paul, you know what that means, don't you? I said, no. He said, well, that's John 5:19. Mm-hmm. Jesus only did what the Father is doing. Mm-hmm. And so after all these years, it is my great joy to always be doing the best I can. I'm not perfect, obviously, but and also everybody else is engaged. So together, what is the Father doing now? So I learned this is how I conduct church services. I just, wait, okay, what is he doing? And the very interesting thing is that when we have the openness to do that, then he tells us. Mm-hmm. But it takes a while to learn that.
Yeah.
It took me years.
Yeah. So
slowly.
A practical way, I would say, that the Lord uses you with the gift of discernment is to discern what to do in a moment.
Yes.
Would that be, or absolutely, in a meeting, or what the presence of the Father wants to do in a...
Exactly. Right. So I have what I call real-time discernment. Now, I work with some people, they have prophetic discernment. They said, well, I see something happening. I said, I don't see it yet. Right. And then I will feel it.
Yeah.
So this is what happens Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting next to you, and I have a great fear, Matt, really. But my bigger fear is the Lord.
Right.
So that's the fear that trumps any other fear.
Sure.
I fear the Lord. And I want to be doing so. I just said to you, the angel of Awake Church is here, and the angel has a message. And you know, you said to me, well, do I have it? I said, no, I don't have it.
Yep.
And then I said, well, I think Dawn has it. Mm-hmm. And I said to you, and I meant it, you can do with it what you want.
Sure.
You know, this is not my responsibility to make anything happen. I'm not going to make a thing happen.
Sure.
But I just report what's going on. Mm-hmm. So Don and I were just out at a restaurant, and an angel shows up. It happens all the time. This is very normal for angels to show up and other spiritual beings to show up. And this is normal Christian life.
That's right. No, it really is. It's part of the normal Christian life that we often don't experience, but can and need we desire, right? Exactly. And
that's,
I would say, 45. Most people don't, right?
I didn't know. And I,
yeah.
So I don't fault us not knowing.
Sure.
But I do wonder when you're not interested in knowing or wanting.
Yeah.
See, I'm not in charge. He's in charge. And he likes being God. That's a remarkable thing about the Lord. He enjoys being God. Mm-hmm. You know what? I enjoy that too.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of pressure off.
It certainly does. Yes. No doubt about it.
That's right.
Yeah. So it's a powerful gift that we need. And to think of the things we miss without discernment, the things that you miss that God might be wanting to do, or the Holy Spirit would be doing, or what He's saying.
Yeah. I don't know how much I missed.
Yeah. I think we all miss things every day, I'm sure.
The problem is I didn't have a clue.
Right, yeah. But it's so powerful to have that. So,
yes, it is.
Yeah, how about other giftings that you see the Lord use you in, or that you teach in, that are, you feel like are
so
helpful?
We have learned about redemptive gifts, I first learned the term motivational gifts with Bill Gothard, based on conflicts. You remember that?
Yes, I do, in the 80s,
actually it was...
Or 70s, maybe.
Yeah, it was, I think, probably
it was
the 70s.
Yeah.
And so my redemptive gift is leader administrator. So that is the gift I most normally function in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I operate in that gift. I I learned, you know, to accept the gift of tongues. Now, I did not speak in tongues, okay? But people around me started speaking in tongues, and mm-hmm. so it's in the Bible. I have a problem. I do not believe the gifts cease. There's nothing that indicates they cease.
Nothing's correct.
And if you're honest historian, you know that they did not cease. That,
right.
It's just being having historical integrity.
That's
the
right.
Gifts continued. So I did the gifts of gift of tongues, and then I've experienced some miracles mm-hmm. and some signs and wonders, and then I've experienced prophecy. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not one who goes naturally to get to prophecy, but sometimes it falls on me, and
so
that happens, mm-hmm. and I'm just open to the gifts. Now, as a leader, what I really enjoy is affirming people to become all that they're supposed to become. I really like that, Matt.
Yeah.
I really like it.
Yeah.
I like to see people grow in their giftings, and mm-hmm. for me to affirm and say, yes, this is the Lord.
Yeah.
Go for it. And
yeah. That's part of that Ephesians 4 of equipping the saints for the work of ministry, right?
Which is in the Bible, isn't it?
It is. There's another one. Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah. So it's something you said last night that I hadn't heard anyone say except for one of my mentors was when I was 87. Excuse me. I've never been 87. When
in
he was 87, he was actually 1987. But he was 87 years old, and I was 18.
87. So.
Yeah. Yeah. He was 87. He was born in 1900. And I was 18. And he became really my best friend for a couple of years. I was at his house all the time. I lived in a small apartment. But similar gifted to you in some ways. And he could always see six angels in his apartment at all times.
Oh. Yeah.
And would communicate. He'd listen to the Father, and the angels would sometimes speak to him. And it was an amazing experience for me with him.
Is.
But one of the things when he would pray for people and deliverance would happen is that he could discern them leaving, and they
yes.
would come out with his breath.
Yeah.
He'd be as demons were leaving other people. And I saw a little bit of that with you yesterday as well. Have you had that similar
yes.
type of where you can discern people being freed of certain
yeah.
things?
So
I
actually can feel deliverance,
yeah,
which is very exhausting.
Yeah.
And so it actually is like, you know, I shared last night, it's like pulling an elephant through a straw out your head.
Yeah.
And sometimes it can be so intense. It's like a localized headache.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's the advantage of the gift. The disadvantage of the gift is the pain. But
yeah.
the advantage is you know what's happening, that I know something is happening here.
Yeah. You
know, there is a deliverance going on, and so which is affirming.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been very intrigued that often I'll say, it stopped. They said, yes, it did.
Hmm.
And so we get that kind of confirmation.
Yeah, yeah. It's very helpful when you're praying for people to know when to stop praying for a certain thing, or because that's gone, or we need to keep at this as well. Yeah.
For the gift of tongues, you know, I've been taught we need to pray in tongues for 2 hours or 4 hours a day
sure.
or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I pray in tongues when I feel a tongue.
Yeah.
So I can feel a tongue. Okay, then I pray in tongues.
Yeah.
Or I say, there's a tongue here, and someone's going to get the tongue, and then, of course, someone has to interpret it.
Yeah.
And see, that's nice to know.
It is, and that's more, in some ways, a corporate gifting.
It is.
To help discern what God is doing
yeah.
in a corporate setting, which
exactly.
is a great thing. Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, that's really good. So when you're helping people with this gift, discerning of discernment, and
yes.
a lot of people may have it and may not realize they have that.
Yes.
And so how do you help them when they are maybe feeling things and you help give words to that or give a description? How does that work for you in helping people?
Okay, so you want to try something right now?
Sure.
Okay, so there's an angel here. So now, Matt, do you, I don't want to put you on the spot, but.
That's all right.
You would just to try?
Sure.
So take your left hand out this way and come slowly towards, okay.
I'll move the mic.
Now tell me if you feel tingling, hot, cold, or pressure.
Tingling.
Okay. So there's an angel right there. Okay. So that's how I start. Now, do you have any pressure on your head or on your body anywhere?
No.
Okay. So that might happen later. So Hebrews 5:14, by constant practice.
Mm-hmm.
So put your hand back again
mm-hmm.
and do it again. right there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, so we'll try this, okay? And I always say to people, it's okay if you can't do it, you know?
Yeah.
So there is a message for you, or for, is it for, I think maybe for everybody. So see if you, now you may see, or you may hear, or you may have a thought come to your mind, and you put your hand down.
Yeah, okay. Since I felt that. of any message or, you know, just a couple of words more just came to me that was.
So now I can, so I can feel what you're feeling.
Okay.
And that's the teaching function. And I think Don Brakin also do that.
Yeah.
So that's just, you know, it's a way that I help train. So I can feel the message. I can feel it coming. So give me a couple of words that you got.
Well, the first word I got was strength.
Strength. Okay.
And like foundation.
Okay. So when you said strength, I got a hit. So I got bam my head and foundation. And that's the message. Mm-hmm. Okay. What does that mean?
Not exactly sure.
I'm not either.
At this moment. Yeah.
Strength and foundation. So Holy Spirit, can you give us a word of wisdom about the application of this to discernment? Okay, now here, well, interesting. I never paid attention to it. I feel the word of wisdom coming.
Mm.
I feel the Holy Spirit and a word of wisdom. So my sense, Matt, is you operate strongly in the word of wisdom,
I get
which is
sometimes.
The application of knowledge.
Mm.
So I think you may know what this means. But
keep going.
You may know what this is. Or am I going to get it?
Oh, I thought you already did.
So, be strong in the Lord and in the, how's it go?
In the strength of his might.
In the strength of his might.
Yeah.
Which is foundational to our lives.
Mm.
Oh, and you be strong in the Lord through discernment. Because when you know what the Lord is doing, then you can stand fast and not be moved. You know Paul says that in Ephesians, and having done everything, I therefore stand.
Right.
So this is foundational to Christian life. This is foundational to Christian life.
Yeah, that's right.
See, isn't it? See?
Yeah.
And we had to both work that together.
Which no, that's is really good.
The way the gifts are supposed to work.
Yeah, we need each other.
Yeah, we need.
That's right.
And we sort it out. And this is the adventure. This is what I love doing with groups of people, that we together we're trying to get the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
We have prayer manuals, and it's several hundred pages now. And my son, when we printed it, said, "What? Put your name as the author." I said, "I'm not the author. The people are the author."
Mm-hmm.
I'm the editor, and Brian's the editor, and Barbara Parker's the editor.
Yeah.
But we're just simply editing what the Lord has given to us. And people have said how powerful those prayers are. Well, it's not because I wrote them.
Right.
Because it came out of unity and out of the body.
Yeah.
And you know, people really like being included. It's like they're like this.
Right.
And I experienced enough of that, you know, like, when is this going to be over?
Right. Yeah, when I think people also, you know, throughout time, our human nature tends to put people on pedestals and create popes, you know what I mean, rather than, as Ephesians 4 talks about, equipping the saints for ministry. Yeah. So it's not the one-man show type of thing. So that's a beautiful thing that you do to equip others, draw people in, equip them, help them see that they're operating some things that they may not even realize.
Have you followed the prophetic words for the last few years? Over and over again, you hear it's no longer about the person in the front. Over and over again, you hear that. And it's no longer. It's not.
Yeah.
And the people love to have fulfillment.
Yeah.
We're teaching on spiritual gifts, and the word charisma is gift.
Mm-hmm.
The word kara is grace. So the foundation of the gift, the spiritual gifts, is grace.
Mm.
But the root of kara is kar, which is joy.
Mm.
So people have great joy when they realize that they are being utilized by the Lord to be who they are.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people say, well, I just pray. I said, don't say that.
Yeah.
I cannot do what I'm doing without people who pray for me. They do the hard work.
Mm-hmm.
What I do is easy compared to, I couldn't do that. Just sit around and pray? That'd right. be really hard
yeah.
for me.
Yeah,
but
me
I know.
Yeah.
I know that I know that I know that the people that pray are doing the hard work. So never say, I just pray.
Mm.
Yeah, some people in prayer says, well, I'm doing is praying. Well,
this is important. Yeah.
It's essential.
Yeah, that's for sure. I'm sure you've experienced this too, that, and I remember when I first realized that not everything I'm feeling is me. Like sometimes you walk into a room and all of a sudden you feel a headache. And then you go, what in the world? Why am I doing, you know, all this? And you realize the Lord's trying to show you something for someone else. So is that oftentimes how you'll help people
That's a key phrase.
Identify? Yeah.
It's not me. It's something else.
Yeah.
And when you do prayer sessions, sometimes you actually feel the emotions of people. And sometimes I'll just go like, I'm like really lethargic and I'm fatigued. Mm-hmm. And I'll get a clue, probably the Holy Spirit saying, pay attention.
Yeah.
I said, are you tired all the time? I am tired all the time. And I realized I was actually discerning what's going on. So
exactly.
So the question should always be asked, you know, is this me or something else? So that's a great observation.
Right. No, it really is. And we tend to make everything personal.
Exactly. It's all about me.
It's all about me.
Of course it is.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, that's good. Well, I just want to thank you for doing what you've done, helping so many people, these thousands of people through your books, through your ministry.
Oh, thank you.
You know, so supportive of other people. You know, I just appreciate too, just even our conversations before you came here, you know, hear your love for the church, for the body of Christ, and you want to come and help and support.
It's a great privilege.
And not undermine or,
it is.
Or power over. And so, just really appreciate that spirit that you have.
Thank you.
That is kingdom spirit. So, really appreciate it. So if you wouldn't mind looking at the camera and telling us how to learn more about your ministry, how to get your books, anything you want to say related to that.
So we have a website, aslasplace.com. www.aslasplace.com. And we have way over 600,000-700,000 words of free information. My son has set up an amazing search box. You can type in anything, like you want questions about the heavenly places, about dimensions, about elders, about rulers. You can type that in. And then all the articles and videos will be listed there. We have a series called Exploring Heavenly Places, Season 1. And in that, we go through, first of all, my testimony and Brian's testimony, how to conduct a prayer session, how to practice discernment and learn about discernment, how to learn about blessings and curses, and so all that is free online, and plus we have other material also that you can purchase. So
I also, I don't know if you want to plug your book there just a little bit about what
I have just concluded a season of burning for 5 years, 3 years actually. I went through a very severe deliverance time for 5 years. Last 3 years I would burn at night, sometimes for 3 or 4 hours a night, and the burning would be actually like a blowtorch on my back. And I have to tell you, Matt, last night, for the first time during the daytime, I had the burning like I did at night.
Mm.
It was brand new for me.
Mm.
And so the Lord gave me this book called Fire, and it's about my journey, and I believe that the Lord is releasing something new, and I think it's the baptism of fire. Mm. So.
It's really good. Well, thank you for coming, being a part of this today with us.
Thank you, Matt.
Would you mind just praying for us as we end?
So, Father, it is a great privilege to know that we can have a relationship with you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
and the relationship is intimate, that you want to be our friends, not only our God, but our friend, that you want to guide us and direct us, and that there's always more. We thank you, Lord, that there's always more, that this is a great adventure for us as a Christian. And Lord, we love you so much, and we want to grow in our relationship with you. And I thank, Lord, that word that you had in Ephesians chapter 1, that you might give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we can know you better. And Lord, we want that. And Lord, I just bless Matt and Awake Church, and I thank you so much for this ministry and for the important kingdom work that they are doing here. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks again. And thank you for watching. Please subscribe, like, give comments, anything on there to share with us. We'd appreciate it. And we'll see you next time. Lord bless.